Our parasha, which deals with a variety of sacrifices, devotes an extended section to the chatos, the sin offering, as brought by different individuals, first by the high priest, then the community as a whole, then a leader, and finally, an ordinary individual. The whole passage sounds strange to modern ears, not only because sacrifices haven't been offered for almost 2 millennia since the destruction of the Second Temple, but also because it's hard for us to understand the very concepts of sin and atonement as they're dealt with in the Torah. You see, the puzzle is that the sins for which an offering had to be brought were those committed inadvertently, b'shogeg. Either the sinner had forgotten the law or some relevant fact. So to give a contemporary example, supposing the phone rings on Shabbos and you answer it, you'd only be liable for a sin offering if either you forgot the law that you can't answer a phone on Shabbos, or you forgot the fact that today is Shabbos. For a moment you thought it was Friday or Sunday. Now it's just that kind of act that we don't see as a sin at all. It was a mistake. You forgot. You didn't mean to do anything wrong. And when you realize that inadvertently you've broken Shabbos, you're more likely to feel regret than remorse. You feel sorry, but not guilty. We think of sin as something you do intentionally, yielding to temptation perhaps, or in a moment of rebellion. That's what Jewish law calls bezadon in biblical Hebrew, or bemezid in rabbinic Hebrew. That's the kind of act we'd have thought calls for a sin offering. But actually, such an act can't be atoned for by an offering at all. So, how are we to make sense of the sin offering? The answer is that there are three dimensions of wrongdoing between us and God. The first is guilt and shame. When we sin deliberately and intentionally, we know inwardly that we're doing something wrong. Our conscience, the voice of God within the human heart, tells us that we've done wrong. That's what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden after they'd sinned. They felt shame. They tried to hide. For that kind of deliberate, conscious, intentional sin, the only adequate response is tshuva, repentance. And that involves remorse, charata, confession, vidui, and kabbalat he'atid, a resolution never to commit the sin again. The result is slicha u'mechila. God forgives us. A mere sacrifice is not enough. However, there's a second dimension. Regardless of guilt and responsibility, if we commit a sin, we've transgressed a boundary. There's something objective about that transgression. The word chet means to miss the mark, to stray, to deviate from the proper path. We've committed an act that somehow disturbs the moral balance of the world. To take a secular example, imagine that your car has a faulty speedometer. You're caught driving at 50 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone. You tell the policeman who stops you that you didn't know. Your speedometer was only showing 30 miles an hour. He may sympathize, but you've still broken the law. You've transgressed the limit, and you will still have to pay the penalty. Now that is what a sin offering is. According to Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, it's a penalty for carelessness. According to the Sefer Chinuch, it's an educational and preventative measure. Deeds in Judaism are the way we train the mind. So the fact that you've had to pay the price, a penalty, by bringing a sacrifice, will make you take greater care in the future. Rabbi Isaac Arama, in the Akedat Yitzchak, in Spain in the 15th century, says that the difference between an intentional and an unintentional sin is that in an intentional sin, both the body and the soul were at fault. But in the case of an unintentional sin, only the body was at fault, not the soul. Therefore, a physical sacrifice helps, since it was only the physical act of the body that was in the wrong. A physical sacrifice can't atone for a deliberate sin because it can't rectify a wrong in the soul. What the sacrifice then achieves is kapara, which doesn't mean forgiveness. It means covering over or obliterating the sin. Noah was told to cover v'chafarta, the surface of the ark with pitch. The cover of the ark in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, was called a kaporet. Once a sin has been symbolically covered over, it's forgiven. But as such, the Malbim points out that in such cases, the verb for forgiveness, slach, is always in the passive, venislach. The forgiveness here isn't direct, as it is in the case when you repent, but indirect. It's a consequence of the sacrifice. And the third dimension of a sin is that it defiles. It leaves a stain on your character. Isaiah, in the presence of God, feels that he has unclean lips. King David says to God, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." About Yom Kippur, the Torah says, on that day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you, letaher etchem. Then before the Lord you will be clean from all your sins. And Ramban says that that is the logic of the sin offering. Any sin, even one you've committed unintentionally, leaves a stain on the soul, in his words, and constitutes a blemish on it. And the soul is only fit to meet its maker when it's been cleansed from all sin. So the result of the sin offering is tahora, cleansing, purification. So the sin offering isn't about guilt, it's about other dimensions of transgression. And it's actually one of the stranger features of Western civilization, due partly to Pauline Christianity and partly to the influence of the philosopher Immanuel Kant, that we tend to think about morality and spirituality as matters almost exclusively to do with the mind and its motives. But our acts also leave traces in the world, and even unintentional sins can leave us feeling defiled. So the law of the sin offering reminds us that we can do harm unintentionally, but this can have psychological consequences. The best way of putting things right is to make a sacrifice, to do something that costs us something. In ancient times, that took the form of a sacrifice offered on the altar at the temple. Nowadays, the best way of doing so is to give money to tzedakah, to charity, or to perform an act of kindness, of chesed, to other people. The prophet said so long ago, Hosea said, "In the name of God I desire loving kindness and not sacrifice." So charity and acts of kindness are our substitutes for sacrifice. And like the sin offering of old, they help mend what is broken in the world and in our soul. Shabbat Shalom.